Okay, we're up to the beginning of Perek Samach Beis. Leman Tzion lo echeshe, uleman Yerushalayim lo eshkot. For the sake of Tzion, I will not. Yeshaya is speaking, of course. Yeshaya says that for the sake of Tzion, I will not be quiet. And Samach Beis, the very beginning of Samach Beis. Good morning. Leman Tzion lo echeshe. For the sake of Tzion, I will not be silent. Leman Yerushalayim lo eshkot. I will not be silent. Now, what is the difference between the word echeshe and the word eshkot? So it's interesting that the Mitzudo Sion does, in this instance, tell us a difference. Normally, this type of psukim, he doesn't say. He just, there are two words, and he basically says they mean exactly the same thing. But here he says that echeshe means shesika, silence. Eshkot means menucha, rest. It's different. It's not the same thing. Now, in this context, you would think it means rest from speech. But that's not a...
In other words, he's saying it's passive in action.
Action, exactly. Action. I'm not going to be passive, and I'm going to be active, proactive. I will not be sit back at home and do nothing. I will be proactive, exactly. So that's a very interesting insight, because this is an ongoing discussion. It's an infinite ongoing discussion. What is the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim? Okay, it's a very complicated topic, and there really is no good answer, because if you study the word Tzion and Yerushalayim throughout Tanakh, you'll always find the word Tzion being used in reference to different things. Sometimes it refers to people, sometimes it appears to refer to the entire area of the land. Eretz Yisrael, sometimes it appears referring to the land of Yerushalayim, sometimes it appears it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes it has more of a spiritual essence to it. So it's not all clear, the difference, and many times it's used together with Yerushalayim. There's like probably the most classic pasuk is Ki Mitzion Teitze Sorah Udvar Hashem Mirushalayim. I always tell you my pshat, which I always try to force down, is that Tzion is related to the word Tzayon. Tzayon means a dry piece of land, arid land, and when you play with the nikud, you mehapich, like sokol yisokel, sharosh yisharesh. So you are changing it to the opposite form when you play around with the nikud. It's usually when you use a chiruk. So here tsoyon with a komatz under the tzadi means dry. When you change it to tzion with a chiruk, then it means wet. And wetness in the vernacular of Chazal refers to Torah. Hoy kol tzomi l'chulamayim ein mayim el Torah ki mitzion teitzei sora. What more do you possibly want? So Tzion refers to a land, a piece of land that's wet, that's moist, that's yearning for Torah. But that only explains part of the pasuk. How does it then differentiate itself from Yerushalayim? Why do sometimes we call Tzion Yerushalayim? I don't have any good answer. Yerushalayim, we know, comes a combination of two different cities. It's Yira, Yeru, and Shalem. This is all old, famous Torah of Malki Tzedek and Avraham, what came first. Really, it should be called Shalem Yeru, because who came first? Malki Tzedek came first, then came Avraham, but Hashem took away the bracha from Malki Tzedek, gave it to Avraham, and we have to have a year has to come before Kol Shirasa Kodemes Chachmasa Chachmasa Miskayemes. Shalem represents Chachma, Avram represents Yira. So even though Avram came later on the scene, and really it should be Shalem Yira or Shalem Yiru, Hashem put Yira first, the Yira Shalem Yiru Shalem. Okay, that's older, but over here we have another dimension, another piece to the puzzle, that when it comes to Tzion, we use the word echeshe, speech. When it comes to Yerushalayim, we're referring to rest from action, maisim. Maisim is the guf. Speech is something which is more spiritual. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, Hashem blew the neshama into the nostrils of man. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. Man was a living creature. And how does the Targum explain the meaning of a living creature? It means he was a man of speech. So what do we learn from this chazal? We learn that speech is related to the neshama. And here, leman tzion lo echesheh, I will not be silent. We see that tzion is a term that is used in reference to the neshama. Whereas Yerushalayim is a term that's used in reference to the guf. So you would then say Tzion is the neshama and Yerushalayim is the guf of this spiritual oasis in Yerushalayim, where the Beis Hamikdash is built, where the capital of the Jewish people is found. So it's a very, very, I think, a very good.
If you take Tzion and make it into a verb, litzayin.
Right, that's very popular. That is a very popular approach to explain tzion. It's tzion, a marker.
A marker, yes. To mark, yes.
That's a
so
very
a marked spot.
Right, correct. It's a marker. It's a flag post. It's a marker for the world. Everyone should come. This is the place to be. This is where you'll find fulfillment in life. It's a very popular approach. I should have said that if you study the kinnos of Tisha B'Av and you come to the tzionim, we have the whole series of kinnos that begin with tzion, start towards the end. So right away the question is why. The first question is why it is called a tzion, not Yerushalayim, and that's the first thing you'll always see written in these likutim, is that tzion is related to the word tzoyun. Tzoyun means a marker. That is a.
We've probably gone over this any number of times, but the problem with your interpretation is that
siya means
arid.
Right.
Dry. Not
okay.
With the chirik form.
No, it's not a kasha. Look at the whole word, tzoyun. It appears in Yeshayah, in the beginning of Yeshayah, at least twice. Like the dryness in a tsoyon. So the word tsoyon, those exact same letters, tsoyon, tsadi yud vav nun, means dryness in a dry, arid land. You take those same exact letters and you change it from tsoyon to tsiyun, to tsiyoin. It's just a drush, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, I told you, you have many examples of this idea. That you have chalitza, chilutz.
Right.
So I mentioned this over the years to the big medaktikim. So some of them tell me, well, that rule is generally only true by verbs. It's not, you don't find it that by nouns. But then I spoke to a very big medactic, he says, no, I'll give you examples of where you have the same concept by nouns as well. I don't remember what he told me that it's not necessarily incorrect, because you do have it. No one told me it's correct. No one told me it's incorrect. It's just an idea. I'm not trying to force it down you. But this pasuk is something we have to remember, because this pasuk is a very, very important dimension to understand the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim, because in this pasuk we match Tzion with speech, and we match with the word Echeshah, will be silent, and we match Yerushalayim with Eshkot, which at least according to the Mesillas means from labor, from Malacha, and that means the Dibor and the Guf, which represents the spiritual essence and the physical essence. Yeah. And you see it very, very clearly here in this pasuk. Again, there's only one of many pasukim. Let's go further. Now, how long will Hashem not be silent and not hold back? Ad yetzei kandoi gat sidka, until it will shine. It will shine its righteousness. Vishuasa, and its salvation, kilapid yivar, will burn. It will burn like a torch. Now again, these are two different, that Hashem will not be silent, Hashem will not call back until the ultimate salvation comes, and Tzion and Yerushalayim will shine, its righteousness will shine, and its salvation will burn like a torch. Now some want to go further as well, that these two expressions also parallel Tzion and Yerushalayim. That when it comes to Tzion, there is ad yetzei kanogat sidka, that corresponds to Tzion, and then Vishuasa, its salvation, kilapid yivar, will burn like a torch. That corresponds to Yerushalayim, which also fits in the same idea, because Noga, if you study Tanakh, Noga is a spiritual radiance. It's not necessarily a physical radiance. And especially in this pasuk, that tzedakah, it's righteousness. It's righteousness. Righteousness is not something which is necessarily physical. It's more of an attribute. It's a characteristic. A person is a righteous person. Everything that he does is tzedek. So it will shine. There will be a glow, a spiritual glow of tzedek. A tzedek. What is a tzedek?
Tzion and Tzedakah both start with a tzaddik. And
okay.
Yeshua, the Yud and Yerushalayim.
Is Yeshua. That's poetic. That's a poetic interpretation. Is there more depth to that? Maybe, perhaps. But salvation normally is something more physical. Person is in jail. He's locked up. He's imprisoned. He now has salvation. He goes free. There's a physical change. Servitude, you're slave. And you've been freed from bondage. That's something more physical. So Yeshua also can refer to spiritual salvation. A person's mind is free. Okay, that's also true. But I think here in the simplest context, Yeshua relates more to something physical, and especially lapid, a torch. I mean, typically is interpreted as something which is a yivar, to burn. Burning is something which is everything is a matter of interpretation, of course, but I think relative to the word noga, it's something which is more physical. It's more gashmius. It's more realistic. Noga has more of a sound, more of a connotation of something, a spiritual glow. Ruchnius, and that fits very well into this theme of we're coming to match Tzion to Echesheh with Kanoga Tzidka and Yerushalayim with Eshkot, which is the Guf, with Vishuasa Kelapid Yivar. Its salvation will burn like a torch. It will be apparent from the great distance. That's how a lot of the Parashah learn, is that a torch, the light of a torch, you can see from very, very far away. Like we know when they came to the Kiddush HaChodesh, they would light torches and they can see from one mountaintop to another mountaintop. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Beis. V'ra'u goyim tzidkech, the nations will see your righteousness. V'chol melachim kivadech, and all of the kings will see your honor. Interesting how we match up the goyim to your righteousness. The goyim refers to the hamoinam, the multitudes of people. They will recognize that the Jewish people are truly righteous, and the kings will recognize everyone sees what they want to see in themselves. It's interesting. When you look at kol ha-poisel in the negative form, we have a concept kol ha-poisel b'mumay poisel. When a person calls someone names, why did you select this name? It's obviously because you have a complex. You are trying to fight off that name from yourself. The Gemara says a person calls someone a mamzer, so you should check into the person. They check into the person because it's very likely he himself is a mamzer. Kol ha-poisel b'mum ha-poisel. So the goyim, the nations, the hamoinam, what are they looking for? What are the people, the average man, not the kings? They're looking for the justice. They're looking for righteousness. The average person in the world, they feel they've been robbed. The government has taken away their hard-earned money. There's no justice. So when the goyim look at Yerushalayim, they see in Yerushalayim what's lacking in their personal lives, and that is tzedakah, tzedek, righteousness, honesty, ethics. They will see tzedek. What are kings? A king, melech, they're not sensitive to tzedek because they have everything they can possibly need. They couldn't care less. They're into kavod. They're into honor. The kings, they want recognition. And it could be they want for a good reason. They feel that they have done wonderful things for this world. They have accomplished great things in this world. They have brought what?
Yeah, I'm looking for the psychological terms for what you described. I think it's projection.
They project on other people what you feel is lacking in yourself or what you want for yourself. A king wants kavod. Why does a king want kavod? Well, we're assuming we're dealing with...
He wanted the job in the first place.
So when he sees someone else He appreciates, you know, as a connoisseur, you only can appreciate some, who do you try to peddle your skills with? Other people that appreciate you, what you have. So that's why these things are matched up. The nations of the world will see tzidkeich, v'chol melachim kivodeich, v'koyro lach shem chadash, they will call the Jewish people a new name, asher pi Hashem yikovenu, which Hashem will specify. This is a very strange pasuk. Now the general word yikovenu is not a common word. It's used in Bamidbar. Asher nakavu b'shemos, the people that have been specified in the Nesima, whatever the context of pasuk there is, nakavu means been specified by name. The Torah was listing certain individuals, and they were specified. So here Hashem will call the Jewish people by a new name. What is this new name? Maybe it refers to Yeshurun. There are different names of Klal Yisrael. There is Yaakov, there is Yisrael, the Karasa Eshmo, Yisrael Yeshurun. Shifte Yeshurun. I think that's one of the new names that awaits us in Mosam Shech Yeshulash of Yashar, of upright. But over here, the pasuk does not specifically tell us what this new name is. All it says is that the day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will call us. Hashem will call, the nations of the world will call us by a new name, which will be specified by Hashem what to call us. Pasuk Gimel, V'hayis. Hashem says, I will be for you a teres teferes, a crown of splendor. Biyad Hashem, you will be, you will be a teres teferes, a crown of splendor. Biyad Hashem, in the hand of Hashem, you will be Hashem's crown of splendor for this world. Utsnif melucha. Now this is something very interesting. Utsnif is a special type of head covering, of kingship. So it parallels the concept of Ateres Teferes. I do not know the difference. The Mitzudos does not tell us the difference either in this context. All it says is Kofel Adav B'Masha Amar. It's a poetic repetition, but I'm sure there is some depth to this. There's Ateres Teferes, and there is a Tsnif, a head covering Melucha of Malchus, Bekaf, in the palm Elokoich of your God. So first it says Biyad Hashem. This is also very interesting. When it comes to the Ateres Teferes, it's in the hand of Hashem. When it comes to the Tsnif Melucha, it's Bekaf. Is the palm. This is very, very rare. You don't have this idea anywhere else. Not least commonly, they refer to Hashem's palm. You have the Yad Hashem, the Etzba, you have the Zeroya, the arm, the strength, all different parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. But you don't have really the Kaf, the palm. It's always the Yad, the Etzba, the Zeroya. The Zeroya is the power, the biceps, the Kaf, the palm. What's shot the palm? Where does that come from? Palm is a whole new connotation. So some learn, I saw someone learn that palm is the most sensitive part of the hand. The back of the hand is not as sensitive. If a person is pricked and the palm hurts. If a person is pricked on the back of the hand, the gav, it's not as sensitive. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will delicately care for us in a very, very sensitive way. Furthermore, when it comes to the Yad Hashem, the expression here being used is Yad Hashem, Yud Kei Vavke is Midas Harachamim. When it comes to the Tsnif Melucha, then it says the Kaf, Eloi Koyach. Eloi Koyach is Midas Hadin. So there's some message here, which I do not know what it means, but something very deep there. When it comes to the Yad, it will be with rachamim, but there will also be a degree of din, of very, very high standards for Klal Yisrael that is measured in the kaf of Hashem. Pasuk Dalit, lo ye'omer od azuva, no longer will it be said about Klal Yisrael that they are abandoned. Ul ya'atzech lo ye'omer od shemama, no longer will it say that they are desolate. Ki loch yikore, you will be called chefzi ba. All of my desires are in you. HaKadosh Baruch will say everything is la'artzeich, bu'ula, and it'll say about your land, bu'ula. Bu'ula means you're married. Bu'ula, there's something called it, different interpretation of the word bu'ula, but bu'ula simply means a married woman. That we are basically married, fully connected, fully connected and related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shvaruch Kaviyachol in the Marshal is always the Chosan, and Klal Yisrael is the Kala. A woman that's married is called a Be'ula. A woman that's not married is called a Besula. And my desire isn't it's a name. We're going to be called Chefziba. That was also one of the names of Yishai's daughters. Yishai had a daughter, her name was Chefziba. And that
is also a woman's name.
So that it's what? It's a Jewish woman's name or it's a non-Jewish?
It was a not uncommon biblical name.
But by whom? So Schwab talks about this. So Schwab writes that he writes about these two names, Chefziba and Be'ula.
I think a little trick.
Well, Yishai was called Chefziba. Yishai's daughter was called Chefziba. But Be'ula, he doesn't seem... Okay, I didn't read it very carefully, but Rav Schwab doesn't seem very happy with the name Be'ula. He does take note that a Goyim have hijacked this pasuk. Christians, Christians, they're very big bekeim in... They like to hijack Sefer Yishaya. And many of them have called their daughters Be'ula.
Yes.
But Be'ula is not really does not have a very nice connotation, because Be'ula means marital relations. It refers to a woman that has had marital relations. Versus Be'sula.
She belongs to a woman.
That's
possession.
That's a derivative. That's the general, but the literal translation of Be'ula means that she has had marital relations, which I don't think it's something which you want to go around saying, calling a person a child by that name. Maybe not. Maybe I'm going too far. But if Schwab does sell you that the goyim do have to listen, whatever the goyim do, we end up doing as well, because it's contagious, unfortunately, and this is some type of expression by the whatever they. But there are two words. There are two different names. Lo ya'amad. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said lo ya'amad. These two words, they parallel. Lo ya'amad lecha oid azuva. They'll no longer call Klal Yisrael abandoned. La'artzich lo ya'amad oid shemam will no longer be desolate. But corresponding to azuva. Kilach yikarei chefziba. Chefziba parallels azuva. Uliartzech biula. Biula corresponds to shemama. Ki chofetz Hashem bach, because Hashem has a desire for you. Viartzech tiboel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, kaviyachol, be married. Be connected. Be connected in a mashal of a man being married to a woman. It will be a strong bond that cannot be separated. You want to say something?
Yeah, just a matter of trivia. There is a old, extreme left-wing socialist kibbutz in Israel, Chefziba.
Chefziba, okay.
Yeah, now I know where they got the term.
It's also, we mentioned the beginning of Yishai's daughter was called Chefziba. It could be it's a Nevu, it's part of his Nevu, what's going to be Liasalavo. He called his children after his prophecies. Hashem really told him, it could be, I don't remember the details, but, okay, very good. So now we go past the K. Pasuk says, "Ki yival bachor besula," just like a bachor, a young man, has marital relations with a besula. Likewise, yiv aluch banoich, your children will be married to Hashem. Hashem will marry Klal Yisrael. Umesoyis chasan al kala, and just like a chasan rejoices over his kala, yasis olayich elokayich. This is one of the most famous psukim in Sefer Yeshaya by Sefer Yeshaya by Chas. Every Chas they sing these words to different tunes. But now, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Then we'll discuss what is the meaning of the pasuk. So I saw in the Yalkam Amloyes, I think he explains. The way he explains this, what the pasuk is telling us, is that during the time of Galus, many nations have tried to take over Eretz Yisrael. There are different periods of time. There were times when it was Shomein, that Yerushalayim for 52 years, Chazal tell us that there was nothing doing in after the Korban for 52 years. It was completely desolate. A bird did not chirp in Eretz Yisrael. But then after that, we came back. And when we came back, all throughout 2,000 years and more from before, and even, there were always different nations trying to take a hold, an achiza in Yerushalayim, whether it's the Turks, whether it's the Christians, whether it's the Muslims, or whether it's, I don't know, all the Jewish history, all the other nations that the British, that's more modern, all along have tried to take control of Eretz Yisrael. But every time they tried to take control of Eretz Yisrael, it was not a natural relationship. It's compared to like a young man, a bachur, a 22-year-old boy is marrying a 70-year-old woman. That's not a good marriage. 20-year-old boy marries a 70-year-old woman, just doesn't go. Or a 70-year-old man marries an 18-year-old girl. It just doesn't go, right? It's just not, the relationship is just not going to, it's not going to last. That's what it was like. When all the different nations try to conquer, control Eretz Yisrael, it was an unnatural relationship. It was like, you have to make what the compare the mashal to whatever the mashal is, but it's not a shidduch. It just doesn't go. Oh, but they forced it upon themselves. This nation, the Turks conquered Eretz Yisrael, the British conquered, or the Muslims and the Christians for the whole 1,000 years of Crusades, going back and forth, fighting between the Muslims and the Christians. Who's going to have control of Eretz Yisrael? Different cities, all different parts. Whatever, whoever has control, it just doesn't go. It doesn't shtim. It's not a good marriage. Exactly. Well, not necessarily having in common is you know, that's the study of many psychologists who says it's good to have something in common. Maybe Adrav, it adds to the mystique. It adds and enhances the marriage when you don't have anything in common. Okay, that's a different issue. But whatever it is, it's not good. It's not natural. The only one that has a natural relationship between the land and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's natural. That's like a Bachor and a Basula. A Bachor and a Basula, when they're both the same age, approximately, and they're both young, that's normal. That's healthy. That's something, a bond that will last. But what's the danger of a marriage? Every marriage has a danger of familiarity. Once you become very familiar with your partner, so then the whole the simchas chosin v'kala quickly dissipates. So Hashem says, although it's a natural marriage and it's a bach and a psula, they're very young when they get married and they have a long way to go, they have many happy years together, they'll always have that same simcha they had in the very beginning. That's the passage that includes umisois chosin al kala yosis lech elokeich forever. All the way through old age, all the way through the long history of Klal Yisrael. So that's the whole picture of this pasuk. A very powerful pasuk. It's telling you these two major things. Ki yival, one more time, pasuk, ki yival bachar psula, yiv oluch boner, just like a bachar marries a psula, that type of bond is a healthy, normal bond. Yivoluch bonoich, your children will be married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Healthy. Now you have to add, in contrast to what's been going on for 2,000 years, when you have strange nations trying to conquer a land, that's an unhealthy. And now that we're going to have this healthy relation with Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't think for one moment that it's going to dissipate. The joy of Klal Yisrael is going to dissolve. No. Umisois chosan al kala yosis olaich elokayich. The joy that accompanies the chosan and kala, that joy will remain with Klal Yisrael eternally. Pasuk Vav. Upon the walls of Yerushalayim, I have appointed guards. Kol hayoyim v'chol halayla, the entire day, the entire night. Tamid lo yecheshu, they will never be silent. Hamazkirim, those that mention es Hashem, those that mention Hashem is a command. Al domi lochem, do not be soft. Now, what are these shomrim? So there are two popular interpretations. Either it means malachim. Hashem has appointed angels in heaven to constantly remind Hashem that Yerushalayim is charaf and there is a need for it to be rebuilt. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that the day will come when the Gula Shlema will arrive. So the Shoyimim, Hashem here says, is a mystical pasuk. Al Chemosayich Yerushalayim, upon your walls, your heavenly walls, I have appointed guardians, malachim, to guard Yerushalayim. No one should come and take it over permanently. And ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem Yerushalayim and rebuild Yerushalayim. So the Shoyimim are the Malachim. The other interpretation is the Shoyimim refer to the Avelei Tzion. It refers to human beings. Talmidei Chachamim, people that mourn. People who mourn over the Churban of Yerushalayim. Kol Hayom Chal Laila. And these Shoyimim, not like your average Shoyimim. Normal Shoyimim only watches at night when it's dangerous. but during the day they sleep. During the day they catch up on their sleep and they do other things. Not so when it comes to Yerushalayim. The Shomrim are appointed to guard and to remind Hashem and to be Mesabel over the Churban by day and by night. Not only at night, but day as well. Tamelo Yechashu. And here he gives the command, those that mention Shlaim, Al Temelchem, do not be sought. Do you look in the Mitzudos? Mitzudos, let's see, Mitzudos, Pasuk Vav, Hafkat, these are my appointed guardians. Eile Hashemim Kinui Al Azal. What do you have in your text? I have here Avne, which I think is a mistake. I think it's Avele. What? Avele, the Lamet. Yeah, Avele. I have a mistake in my text. It says Avne, stones. It can't be stones. It refers to Avele, the Lamet. The Lamet is missing. Avele. Avele Tzion, Shein Lachem Esek Achakim, Yasmidu B'chi, they continuously cry. The evil and they mourn kishemri achemri, like guardians of the wall. Sheinim zazim min hashmira. The hoysif loyma kol hayem cholay laki minag shemri achemri slishim bayom. It was their custom to sleep by during the day. V'loychein heimad. Not these guardians. Ki yifku v'yisablu b'yom v'laylo. They will cry and they will mourn by day and by night. That is how the Mitzudos learns refers to the aveli. Again, others say refers to Malachim. If you look at Rashi pasuk vav, alchem asayach Yerushalayim, and Abaseinu darshuhu kimashmo malachim, angels hamaskirim, which mentions Hashem al churbano livnoisa ma omri. What do they say to Hashem? They say pasuk in Tehillim atos sokum trachem tzion, that you Hashem rise up and have mercy upon Zion. Kivocher Hashem tzion kidisa b'mesechta menachas. The Yonas and Tirgame chay moisayach. That Hashem has appointed guardians over the ovos. The walls refer to our forefathers. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Hifkat Yishayim. What's the guardians? Rashi. Lichtov Sefer Zichronet Shlo Yishtakach Zuchusa Milafane. Unbelievable. Very good for Rosh Hashanah Yom Neron. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed guardians over the ovos to record their good deeds. And in their merit, v'zoicher chastei avois umevi goyel levnei v'neihem l'man shmo b'yava. Lo yechashu, so lo yech, they will not be silent, Rashi says, v'lahasker zuchusam lefonai, from remembering the zuchusim for me, hamaskinim es Hashem es zuchus avos. Al dami lochem al tachanish, do not be silent. So here you mamash have a makar for what we do every single day. We say every single three times a day. So just mention the zeicher chasevos migol of nevinim lachmi avod. Really comes from this pasuk over here. It's a tzivui, and the anshei kineses hagdol have picked up on the tzivui of Yeshaya to fulfill what he commanded us. Hamaskinim es Hashem. Al dami lochem, do not be silent. Always remember this chosava. It's pasuk zayin. V'al titnu dami lo. Do not give silence to him. Dami means, we have this many times, means silence. Ad yik, do not give silence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad yikoinen is part of the continuation of the command to the Shemim. Ad until yikoinen v'ad yasim es Yerushalayim tehilol al-aretz, until two expressions. I don't know what the difference is, but the two, one is to be established and one's to be set. Maybe it corresponds to our theme that we start with in the beginning of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Tziyikoinein corresponds to Tzion, to be established, a spiritual essence. And Yosin is more of a physical type of term, which means to set in place Yerushalayim, Tehillah, praise, Baretz. Pasuk Ches, Nishba, how much more to finish the parak? Nishba Hashem b'minoy uvzroi uzoi, Hashem has sworn by his right hand and by the might, the strength, the might of his strength. And this refers, a lot of Midrashim, this refers to the tefillin. Hashem has made a shvua with his tefillin. In etain estigonech od machol le'oivach, no longer when Mashiach comes will I give your blessing, will I allow digonaych, your grain, to be consumed by your enemies. The yim yishtu, no longer will I allow to drink b'neinech foreigners tiroshech, your wine, asher your god, but which you have worked, which you have exerted yourself. We have exerted ourselves to produce dagon v'tirosh, and this doesn't refer only, of course, to physical grain and wine. It refers to our spiritual accomplishments and our what we have given society. Jews do not get credit. There are so many statistics of how many things Jews, what they've done for the world, all of the medicines and all of the great inventions and accomplishments of civilized society have come from the Jews. And Jews are just a teeny percent of the population. And no one will give credit to the Jews. Hashem says, no longer will I tolerate this. I will give the Jewish people their credit. I will not allow the nation of the world just to steal it and to take away what they have accomplished and take it for themselves. Pasuk Tes, Ki me'asfav yochluhu, those that have gathered it in will eat. Those the Jewish people that have gathered in their produce, their grain, and their wine, instead of gathering it in and then being stolen by foreign nations. No, the Jewish people who have gathered in their grain and their wine, and what that represents, Yochlu will eat it, Vihilu, and they'll praise Hashem, Umikabitzav Yishtuhu, and those that send the word Umikabitzav parallels the word Me'asfav, those that have gathered it in will drink it. The Chatzres Kotshi, in my holy courtyard, is referring to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yud, Ivru Basharim, Panu Derech Ha'am, Solu Hamasilo. Here Yishai is telling, prepare for the Gula. So we want to finish up the parak. Prepare for the Gula. The Gula is coming. And therefore, I want you to pass through the gates. Ivru Basharim, Panu Derech Ha'am, clear a road for the people. Make an easy path. Make it easy for the kibbutz skullies, for the Jewish people to return to Yerushalayim. Solu Hamasilo. Solu means remove stones. Solu literally means lift up. Here it means lift up the impediments from the road to allow an easy passage. Hamasila, and the pasuk repeats itself. Saklu me'evin, remove the stones. Mums harimu nes al-am, lift up a banner al-am among the nations. And the purpose of this banner is the sones lekabetz goluyosin. It was Saint Shimon Esra, lift up the banner, and the banner is, we are here. Yerushalayim is here for you. Return, the flag has been lifted up. Pasuk Gedalef, Hinei Hashem, behold Hashem Mishmiya El Kitze Aretz, Hashem has made it heard. His voice is heard towards the end of the earth. Imru L'Vasiyon, say concerning Vasiyon, Hinei Yishechbo, your salvation has come. Hinei Sicharo Ito, Hashem, the reward is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Fulaso Lefanov, and the reward for his work is Lefanov, is in his presence. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has declared throughout the ends of the earth that salvation is here, and Hashem is now going to pay a reward to the Jewish people that have been faithful to him throughout the ages. Pasuk Yudbeis, the Korolohem, they will call the Jewish people Am HaKodesh, a holy nation. This is something a little different. I don't think we knew we had this. This is a little bit of a different twist. We have the nations of the world, many of the psukim, if you would take them very literally, and the Jewish people there, they're accomplished. They're smart, they're faithful, they're loyal, they're good. But holiness, here we're called an Am HaKodesh, a holy nation.
Recently, Ben Ezra described as Kohanim.
Priests, teachers. But that's that. The priest is not as a term that's, I think there's even a greater term. You can argue. Kohanim, Amlechas Kohanim, the Goy Kodosh, a holy nation. Okay, so there you had the Kohanim, here you're having the conclusion. The ordering here is being sandwiched in between what we said before, the Amlechas Kohanim, Kohanim, Am Kodosh, Geulei Hashem, those that have been redeemed by Hashem. Here's another very beautiful expression, V'loch Yikorei Derusha, and you will be called Derusha. Seeked out. Hashem sought out. Hashem has sought you out. Ir loy nezava, a city that has not been abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? That pretty much, from the Sylvia, there's any Rashi over here. Another Rashi, pretty much, okay, which one point is that remove the stone from the roads. So that refers really to the Yetzahara. Look at the Rashi. Rashi quotes the Medrash. Soilu Hamasila Kivshu Aderech, okay, Losh Masila who Kivshu, make a good road, pave the road. Siklu me even, remove the stones. Siklu Hamasila Vishlihu Avne Mikshalit Staden, remove the stones to the side and pave the road, a nice pavement, a smooth road. And then he goes on, me'aven miyos sham even uchneged yetzahara hu. Rashi is a very nice mention referring to the yetzahara. It's called a stone. The yetzahara has many names, and one of the names of the yetzahara is a stone. He causes a person's heart to become like stone, insensitive to what is taking place around him, not to do tshuva. The yod yesh lefanoisai al tikon hadrachim lekabetz agolias. You also, the place show, you can also interpret literally. Literally, you should interpret it. You can interpret it that just make it easy for the Jewish people to return back to Eretz Yisrael. But we have to remember this medrash that the role of the leaders at this time will be to remove the yetzahara from among us to make it easy for us to do tshuva and to return to Yerushalayim.